This is Rio Pacino with another Bearing Point podcast. The topic for this podcast is actually a huge one. We're going to talk about strategies for managing the credit crisis in the U.S. And I have on the phone Bearing Point Managing Director Lowell Alcorn, who has more than 20 years of lending and leasing experience. Lowell, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Rio.
Lowell, the damage has already been done with the fallout from subprime lending and historic default levels. Talk about some immediate steps lenders can take towards making improvements and actually getting out of this hole.
Well, Rio, I think the first thing I would say is damage has been done, but there is more damage to happen yet. I think as most people who would listen to this podcast have seen that foreclosure levels have been increased this last month in August. It's an increase over July. It's 115% increase over same time last year. And I think it, based on research that we read, I think that those foreclosure levels will either increase or stay at a very high level for probably a year to 2 years. So I think that lenders and investors are going to be challenged on that front for some time to come. As far as what we outline and have outlined, we think there are three major strategies that lenders should pursue related to these default volumes. And I'll just outline those three. The first is to be sure that you've got an effective way to evaluate the risk in your portfolio. And a lot of the credit models and credit analytics that have been used to date obviously need some update and need a way to get some very timely feedback to validate the models and analytics that have been done. We have been helping our clients along these lines to do three things around this evaluation, and one is to update their credit analytics and help them with validating their credit models. The second thing is to help them with the access to the data related to these related to doing these analyses. One of the problems with trying to do this evaluation is the data is often difficult to access because it is in it's in different systems or it lacks a common data model. So that we've been doing some data analytics and data quality, data modeling to at least make the data available to do the analytics. That's a second part of that evaluation. And then lastly is to build a dashboard to report pretty much as a surveillance tool in the portfolio to be able to quickly monitor that your portfolio is performing along the assumptions along the assumptions that you have anticipated, and if the analytics or if the portfolio starts performing outside of a bandwidth or that you want to set or triggers a bandwidth that you want to set, that comes to your attention immediately. So having the ability to do that surveillance and evaluate the risk in your portfolio, that's really around strategy number one. Strategy number two, it deals with really kind of the topic that you opened up with is once a loan goes into default, how do you manage that, you know, what's the best way to act on that? What's the best way to manage this increase in portfolio or increase in defaults? And what we recommend, there are a lot of individual point or mainframe solutions that are used in the industry. And these systems are often good at handling one aspect of the default management lifecycle, such as foreclosures. And what they really lack is the view. There are two things: the ability to view the entire lifecycle and what are the volumes that you're having, and are you acting on? First of all, do you have the scale in your and staffing in your operation or third parties in order to handle that volume. And secondly, it is the visibility to see that you are meeting the deadlines that you have that are either externally required by states or investors or internally designed by the servicer or lender to mitigate the losses related to the portfolio based on prior cycles. I think what we have found in a market where defaults are increasing, housing prices are falling, that the servicer who acts first in either disposing of their property or in loss mitigation techniques, the one that acts first loses the least. So it's important to be able to constantly monitor your portfolio and change the rules so that you can quickly act in loss mitigation techniques that you want to deploy as a servicer. The business process management technology that we think is an overlay to these existing systems will provide you the visibility to the workload to quickly change the processing rules and to let you tightly monitor that all loss mitigation and default management deadlines are being performed in a timely basis, and gives you the flexibility to change those as the market might change. And the last strategy is around cost reduction, and it's a time where lenders have an opportunity to really come up with a new cost model for their future business and their future operations. And as you've seen, that a lot of lenders right now have reduced staff in large layoffs. And I think that's probably a good first step, just a kind of a reaction to the volume going down and the need to keep the internal profitability levels. But what they need to do, what I think that lenders have an opportunity to do, and what we're recommending that they do, is to look at ways to restructure their operations along workflow design, around consolidation, around offshoring, around outsourcing, around performance improvement, so that they can come up with really a lower cost model than they had before. Simply just doing layoffs leaves you a smaller version of the same cost model, and we have a process that we're outlining. It's really kind of a modified activity-based costing with some scoring methodology that we are successfully using with a few lenders to come up with what we think will be a different cost model for them going forward. And it's going to give them an opportunity to be even more competitive, even more productive as rates go back up, and also to face just kind of the increasing default volume that happens and is happening.
Part of the problem is, you know, people were getting approved, you know, a couple years back for loans that they simply could not pay for. If you could talk about some of the surprises, if there are any, that people need to know about in regards to the lending process.
You know, a lot of those loans were made, and really it was a result of being more and more competitive in an environment where rates were coming down and housing prices were going up, and really kind of allowing some borrowers to qualify for loans that in a lot of cases were pretty marginal and would be acceptable as long as housing values went up. And the first time that housing values go flat or even go down, and further as rates may go up, and in a lot of cases these folks got very low teaser rates. In a lot of cases those teaser rates are going to adjust this year and next year. And they're of the 05-06 vintage, and the impact to those payments will be increases of, it could be 30%, or their payment could even go up double in an instance which present default problems, and as housing prices stabilize, it also presents problems in selling the house. So that further kind of accentuates the negative impact to borrowers, and they may go, they may default, and I think we're seeing some of that happen right now. What you're seeing in the news and the media, Mr. Paulson, was on the news yesterday saying that borrowers in this situation, one of the first things that they should do is call their servicer, and that's been in the media. I've seen that in several newspapers you get advice like call your servicer and ask for a modification. Or call a housing counselor, and they may be able to get a sheriff's delay of foreclosure, or they may advise you to declare bankruptcy, or see an attorney, and the attorney may ask you, may even look for instances where you could, where the loan has not been serviced correctly, or that it will be. You look for signs where you may have been forced into or led into a high cost loan, and there may be an opportunity to sue the servicer or sue the investor. So all these things present complexity to the servicers and to the lenders that need to be prepared to modify loans, to be able to ensure that they are servicing things in a way that meets the investor and regulatory compliance guidelines, so they don't get sued, and that they can adjust to varying requests that may, like the sheriff's delay, that they can process those delays and still monitor that effectively as the delay happens. So. These are things that the borrowing community is getting educated, and the servicing of these loans is more complex and presenting potential issues for the servicer on the complexity of the deadlines and potential litigation. So that's why we think something like the business process management tool that I referred to and the ability to monitor those rules, that's a must-have for servicers right now because of the complexity and the potential implications of what could be lawsuits for them.
Lowell, I don't know if using the word highlights is the right term, but talk about some of the consequences from the fallout from subprime lending and historic default levels.
First of all, it's mortgage companies go out of business. So, as the liquidity has dried up, and that their access for funding has not been able to allow them to fund their warehouse lines and fund their advances to investors. So, the impacts to several of the parties. One is that mortgage companies are going out of business. Some of them have gone out of business. Others have had layoffs because the volume's gone down, losses because of the increased defaults. Borrowers are finding it on the borrower side of things. The borrowers are having challenged to meet their payments. And, not only does this cause higher defaults, it causes more supply or an influx of housing houses into the housing inventory, and that has a potential to impact housing values, and which in turn becomes a little bit of a cycle that it brings more people into play that are borderline on being able to make their payments and their ability to sell their houses. So I think a big need for the Fed is not only to cut rates and put some liquidity in the into the market, but it's to stabilize the housing values, I think, is a big key to keeping this default cycle to a I don't even know if I would call it a manageable level, but to help mitigate some of the big losses that could happen if housing values go down quite a bit.
Now, Lowell, you were talking about the loan portfolio a few minutes ago. Let's go ahead and talk about that once again. Do lenders need to take a tighter grasp of their portfolios? I mean, is that the key?
Absolutely. I think that I think as you've seen from the headlines and kind of the suddenness of which this happened, that lenders did not adequately understand the amount of risk that was in their portfolio, as well as kind of how quickly this might change. So I think that all the credit and portfolio valuation and pricing models need to be really need validation and need review. So those are, that kind of gets back to that first evaluate, because I think, you saw these investments pop up in a lot of places where you wouldn't have normally anticipated them to be. You know, an example would be, I think it was the Harvard Endowment Fund was a place where some of the subprime losses had been through one of the hedge fund investments. So it's popped up in places where we wouldn't normally anticipate. So I think that it's all investors need to really kind of step back and evaluate. Here are the underlying analytics to understand the risk related to these investments.
You mentioned Bearing Point's credit navigation tools earlier in this podcast. I want you to complete this sentence for me. As a result of new market pressures and scrutiny, we expect to see demand for tools that can finish that sentence.
And better monitor and report risk related to loan portfolios and servicing portfolios or mortgage-related assets. So, I would add, and manage those assets as well. So I think really kind of the next iteration of operational and risk evaluation performance related to buying, selling, and managing mortgage-related securities and assets. So the current evaluation of the risk and the ability to effectively manage, and I mean really kind of process defaults, I think that what will come out of this, I would hope, if this, I know this will be a rough cycle, but I think what will come out of this is kind of the next generation of capabilities to evaluate risk and to process and to be able to process defaults. I think every real estate cycle and every mortgage related, every prior credit cycle, if you go back to the 80s and what happened in the Southwest and also what's happened in California and the Northeast previously, that every mortgage cycle has brought about some improvements, I in my opinion, and the automated underwriting and credit scoring as an example from that late 80s and early 90s. And I think that what will come out of this particular cycle will be that next generation of how to evaluate the risk and to the underlying processes to do the operational processes related to buying, selling, and managing mortgage-related securities.
Well, for the sake of lenders as well as homeowners, let's hope things get better sooner rather than later. Bearing Point Managing Director Lowell Alcorn, thanks a lot for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you, Rio. I appreciate your time.